Hey guys, welcome back to the Prehistoric Life podcast. And today, we got another interview with Nova Studios right here. He's down there. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi there. I'm David. I'm the guy behind Nova Studios. So great intro you got there.
Thank you. So, I mean, the basic question I start off every interview with is, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Well, that's always a tough question. Carnotaurus?
That is absolutely fair. I love Carnotaurus.
That's probably my favorite one. Out of the carnivore species. Brachiosaurus is my favorite herbivore.
You have something with Carnotaurus and Saltosaurus, if I'm not mistaken, coming out, right?
Yep. Recently made that for dinosaur creatures, yeah. And I also made a standalone version that you can download on Cult3D.
The wrong arrow. I kind of hate that they hide them. I'll put this up so you can all look at that. There it is. Go check out his Instagram. It's on there. Would you like to talk about what you do?
Well, I try to make replicas of dinosaur skeletons, mostly anatomically correct skeletons. I only did one fantasy piece that's an embryo dinosaur. It was one of my first pieces, and it's also became the logo of Nova Studios. But I tried to make them as exact as possible. They still need to be 3D printed, so some little details might not be exactly true because they still need they have to be printable. So sometimes you have to cheat a little bit.
So might be missing a rib or two, but who knows?
No. The ribs, the vertebrae might get a little bit deformed because normally there's a space between the vertebrae. Because at that place there was this flexible, I don't know how you say it in English, but there was this flexible muscle in between the vertebrae. It's not actually a muscle, it's more like tissue. But because the model needs to be 3D printed, I closed the gaps with the space of the vertebrae.
So that they have to stay together. So, I mean, you can't print every single individual vertebrae and use a wire.
There are some models like the Dimetrodon. A really realistic replica of the Dimetrodon, and those are connected by wires. So the space between the vertebrae, because it's a life-sized model, the small dinosaurs like the Compsognathus, the Dimetrodon, Dimorphodon. Sorry, I always mix those up.
Right here with you.
Yeah, Dimetrodon, Dimorphodon, tomato. Different species, not tomato. But
separated by a couple million years, but who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? But because that's it's not actually a dinosaur because there's can't say it's a dinosaur. Because those are small models compared to the enormous, gigantic ones, I can make those at true scale. So the vertebrae and everything is exact as it should be, hopefully. That's at least what the paleontologist told me.
I mean, you never know. 100 years, you're going to be like, yeah, actually, this one only had 18 legs. And you're like, what?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I will never make a Spinosaur. That concept changed every year. So I'm not going to make one until they agree on something.
Does it swim in the water? Does it stand on two legs? Is it four-legged? Yeah. Is it mostly aquatic? I don't know.
Yeah, that's I got asked a lot, why don't I make one? But as long as they don't agree on something, then no, not gonna make it.
what you do is you cheat and you do something like just like Spinosaurus Claw. You sell those.
Yeah.
Like, but I know that's accurate.
Yeah, but there are a lot of them. Claws, vertebrae, separate vertebrae. And actually, there are a lot of skeletons available for download about the Spinosaurus. So I try to make the models that haven't been made.
The more niche dinosaurs that people don't know.
Not per se the niche ones, but the ones that, like, for instance, the Majungasaurus skeleton hasn't been made yet. So I made that one. Let's see. I think I got about 20 models. I'm working on an Oviraptor, a Tarsinosaurus, Protoceratops. That's one for a museum, actually. The ones that don't get made, I'm trying to get made. Because I'm not the only one that may build skeletons. So
I mean, yeah, but that's like a very unique process. Would you like to kind of not reveal trade secret, but walk it through a little bit?
Well, sure. Yeah, it's not a big secret. I think the most prominent thing to do is do the research. When I get interested in a specific dinosaur, I try to do as much of research as possible. I'm no paleontologist, I'm no scientist, so my understanding of it is very limited. So I turn to some buddies of mine, not really buddies, but acquaintances that are in the field, that advise me on take a look at that, and explain a lot of the scientific terms to me. A lot. So then I have a buddy. His name is Ivan Iofrida. He also makes. We sometimes work together in making a model. He actually built the Carnotaurus, and I made the Saltosaurus. So props goes to him for the Carnotaurus. That's why also I also include him in the comments whenever he participates in a model. But we usually work from skeletal drawings from certain species and try to make a 3D replica of it. And a lot of CT scanning if it's available, because a lot of CT scannings are copyright protected. So, because I have some contacts in the paleontology community, I try to reach out and try to get access to those CT scans, and that I can use. I know that copyright protected, but if I can have some agreement that I can use them for reference for my models, so I don't actually use the CT scans. I use them as a reference for the dimensions and then how they are built and the details of it. And sometimes I get approval that I can use them commercially from the museum or university.
So you don't base it on an individual. You base it on like the generic features of the individual.
Yeah,
makes a lot of sense. So instead of like for the Saltosaurus, if you use like a real Saltosaurus skeleton, you're not like, well, this specific individual had cracks here. You don't put those. You're just like, it would have been whole bone. So
yeah. I remodeled I sometimes do work for museums in remodeling pieces that they found, like broken ribs, multiple pieces of ribs, and try to remodel them into a complete 3D model, so they can print it and I can use it. So that's also one of the reasons why I have a big database. those for museums, I do those for free. Those reconstructions in 3D. So as long as I can keep the model, if they say you can't keep the model, they have to pay.
Yeah. I mean, this seems like a fair deal. I mean, so yeah. You said you make smaller creatures, like, well, life-sized.
Yeah.
Market it as life-sized. Why not? Have you ever tried to make something like bigger, like a bigger creature?
Or is well, that- I'm actually for a museum called the Tsar Museum in Belek. It's a Swiss museum. It's a private-owned museum. I'm making a Protoceratops, or life-size Protoceratops, with a baby. So they recently put it on their Facebook, so it's not a big secret anymore. They're going to make a display of a Velociraptor attacking a Protoceratops. So I'm building the Protoceratops that's protecting its baby.
Huh.
So, and I only completed the skull, a few neck vertebrae, and I'm starting on the rib cage now.
So you got to, like, print off every individual piece and put it together.
Yeah.
Sounds like
my wife loves it.
So you must just have, like, a warehouse somewhere just, like, with an industrial 3D printer. Or
No. Actually, that's a funny story. Last year ago, I started tearing my house down. Doing some reconstruction work. It all started with the garage and pretty much ended up basically tearing the whole house down. So me and my wife have to relocate at my mother-in-law's house. So she's having a real big fun at that. She loves my dinosaurs, by the way. Yeah.
It tends to happen. But I mean, so you just, like, do it on the dining table and just, like, guess we're in the living room again.
No, I usually work at night, so I have a daytime job, and Nova Studios is and will always be a hobby of mine. So I do those work when I get home, when there's some time off, so I don't work at it 24/7. So it's when I have time. It's something I enjoy doing. So, and as long as I enjoy it, I'll still keep doing it.
I mean, it's what makes a hobby fun. I mean,
yeah. A lot of people ask me, why don't you do that full time? It's just, I think I would get bored doing it every day in, day out.
You have to do every little thing to perfection. You got to worry about all the shipping and handling costs and all that.
That's why I work with dinosaur creatures now. I was trying to get out of the printing business because it takes up a lot of time doing the printing, the painting, the shipping. And I thought I underestimated that part big time. When I get through my last orders, I'm going to shut down the modeling by buying the models, and you can only buy the models then at Dinosaur Creatures. So and then I can focus all my attention to the modeling part, which that's the main reason I started doing it.
Get someone else to handle all the shipping and stuff.
Yeah. You can have that.
I want to focus on the part I want to do.
Yeah. And I'll just pick the money that pays off.
I mean, that's what I've seen from most products like that. They're just like, somebody else just handle the shipping and all that. I'll just keep doing whatever I want over here.
Well, yeah, it was even a time where I started thinking I'm going to shut down Nova Studios even, because it took a lot of time. There was a moment where I hardly had any sleep because I got home. I got a little kid, a little son, got a wife, got a family. Still need to pay attention to that. I got my full-time job and reconstructing the house and doing Nova Studios, the models, the shipping and everything. So it started to turn out to be a lot. And then Dinosaur or Creatures contacted me at the right time and asked me if they can print my models and sell them. Go ahead. Here you go.
Here's what I've done. Take it. Give me a cut or something. Yeah. I don't know.
So, and they asked me if I sometimes, yeah, and they asked me if sometimes I can make some exclusive models for them, like the Carnotaurus and the Celtosaurus. So that's not a problem for me. Mm-hmm. Those are the models that can be downloaded. No, those are only available as a physical model for Dinosaur Creatures. Hmm. So, yeah, sometimes you have to do something.
And I mean,
keep everyone happy.
I honestly feel like dinosaurs is a safe industry to do this with. I mean,
yeah.
And like you said, I mean, you work with museums, they're always going to.
Yeah, never thought that would actually really happen. But there was this museum in, I think, Arkansas. I'm not really sure. It's called the Museum at Dinosaur Junction. And there's this great guy who started the entire museum that contacted me and wanted to purchase the model. And he bought one. He put it on display at the museum. And yeah, things started from there. Then the museum, the Sawyer Museum in Belek, contacted me. Then another museum in the Netherlands, two museums in the Netherlands, one in England. And things started from there. So
you make a good product. People want it.
Yeah, apparently. I try to.
That's what I've been told.
Well, yeah. It's not like, yeah. I hardly get any feedback. Most people, when I release a model, sometimes it can be an error inside. And because I don't print every model, that's a task that's nearly impossible. And I put something on called 3D. I got a couple of people like Matthew, Brianna, who I met online, that started printing my models. And those are about the only persons that I get some feedback from, telling me, well, take attention to that one because that part doesn't fit really good inside that part. And that's how I build up the models. I got people yelling at me, especially Matthew. Hi, Matthew. yeah, but no, I got a great backing of people that came along the way, and actually some great, great people.
So
that's supporting me.
You just spend most of your time like designing the 3D model.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those people that you just named spend their time printing it, and then you said Dinosaur Creatures just sell it and ship it and all that. They handle all that. So
yeah,
it seems like you got yourself a side business there.
Yeah, don't let the tags guys know it.
That's for sure. I mean, you gotta start paying taxes on it.
I pay my taxes, trust me.
It's not worth not paying your taxes.
Yeah, I live in Belgium. They know better how much I earn than me, actually. So yeah, but it's still a hobby, and that's the part I like the most. That I can, if I don't want to do an assignment, if it doesn't interest me, I can just say no.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Like I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But money is good too. If they're like, here's $20,000, will you do it now? It's like,
yeah, but I'm 40 years old now, and I used to be when I was about your age, I would do anything for a couple of bucks. But when you get to my age, I'm starting to sound like an old guy. My age. Well, listen, kiddo.
Back in your day.
Back in my day. Yeah, no. But yeah, it doesn't interest me that much. Still interests me that I can make a few bucks on the side and buy something new, like a new PC or something, or a new graphics tablet. But I don't do it to make a lot of money, because that would be, yeah,
not meant to pay the bills.
Yeah. So it's just fun to do.
It's something fun to do, and you were able to just turn a profit on it. So, I mean,
yeah. And also, about a couple of months ago, I think it was October, November, I got an email from a journalist. And he was writing a book about dinosaurs in our cultural environment. And he wrote me an email. Oh, by the way, I put you in my book. That was okay, what's cool inside the book? He never responded when I asked, what's in the book? I don't know. Did you comment on something? Did I do bad? Don't know.
You hate me?
Never responded. So I had to buy the book to see what was in it. I was like, what the fuck?
Smart marketing strategy.
Yeah, it was smart of him. But yeah, it was pretty positive. So, and those are the fun things. And when I bought the book, it was at a show and tell with a Q&A and everything. And there was this paleontologist named Koen Steen, who is kind of a big name in the community here in Belgium. He was also there in the panel, started talking to him. He invited me to a speaker, not me to speak, because I'm not that intelligent about all that stuff. he asked me to come to the university because there's a lecture there about dinosaurs and everything. So I went through there, and yeah, learned a lot at that lecture. And yeah, gradually getting to know new people inside the community, knowing other paleontologists like Ivan Iofreda, and a couple of more. Yeah, it's all fun. As long as it stays fun. Also, another great paleontologist artist is Valadinos, who also makes great models. He's also on Cult3D. So it's not like we're competing against each other. We can admire each other's models, each other's artwork. We all know how painstakingly it is sometimes. And yeah, Vitamon is also a great artist.
It's a hobby, so you can just be like, nice work, man. You see this? And they're like,
yeah. Yeah. There are a couple of eggheads in the community that I try to stay from. But yeah,
no matter what you do, there will be someone that hates on it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, I know I told you the story in private about my first model I put on Cult3D for free that got a little bit controversy. And the guy who has this about the same model, it's not exactly the same, but he claims it is.
Said it's different.
What?
He just tweaked it a little bit, and then.
Well, he used the same CT scans that I did, and those CT scans are with a non-commercial license, which means you can use them, but you can't use them for commercial gain. So
make a profit off of them.
Yeah, make a profit off it. So. That's why I put it up for free. So I used the same CT scans, bones he used, and made the Psittacosaurus skeleton. And yeah, he started heckling me that I'm a thief and everything like that. So, and since a year or two, his model doesn't get downloaded anymore, and mine every day gets downloaded every time. So sometimes I update him a little bit on how many times it got downloaded for me. Sounds a little petty, but it's really funny too.
He is a petty does.
So yeah. It's like, those are the little struggles, but it's all fun and games. Yeah. the largest part of the community are really, really supportive guys and girls.
A lot of them should be, they should be just as a community of people who just enjoy dinosaurs. We shouldn't bash each other's content like that. I mean,
no. You can always see the people that are really into it. When that's why I would never make flesh models. I support and admire all the artists that make flesh models, like FFB, Britt Nola. He's a great artist too. But if you make a raptor, there's a huge part that doesn't like feathers. There's a huge part that loves feathers. There's a huge part that doesn't like lips. There's a huge part that likes lips. And you can't make everyone happy. And a skeleton doesn't have feathers. And it doesn't have lips. And it's always correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot more time than a flesh model. But no people are complaining afterwards.
So we can all kind of go down the drain a little bit and be like, eh. You know that. I mean, and another thing with, like, you brought up raptors. I mean, you have like the Jurassic Park velociraptor, and everybody knows that's not scientifically accurate.
That's actually it's not a velociraptor. They modeled it after a Deinonychus.
They changed the velociraptor. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now everybody's confused about Velociraptor.
A large part of my upbringing when I was little until I was 16, 17 years old, I always thought Velociraptors were that big. And actually, they're about the size of a turkey. So you could easily slap the shit out of it. So you could probably kick it
off. Still wouldn't, but
yeah, still wouldn't.
Still
wouldn't
gonna do stay that. Away from them, but I mean, it seems
if you ever went close to a turkey, they're pretty. They could be pretty dangerous to turkeys. So don't underestimate.
They get pretty big. They get surprisingly big.
Yeah,
but also on the spectrum, I mean, you'll get like a sauropod, and then you look at Velociraptor, you're like,
kind of a little turd. They were known to be in packs, so there was never one.
That claw in the toe, you're busy dealing with one, another one gets you, you're like,
yeah, you're done for.
I'm topping out, you can get off me. you win the round.
Yeah, I actually built a replica of the Hector specimen. It's also on my Nova Studio site. So last year in 2021, 2 years ago, they sold the most. It was a specimen of Deinonychus skeleton, and it was the most complete skeleton ever found of the Deinonychus.
Hmm.
And they sold it for, I think, $11 million into private hands, so it's never been seen again. And luckily, the auction house that was selling the skeleton took a whole lot of photos from different angles, and I was able to make a replica out of it.
Get a hold of them.
And because it got lost into private hands, there were couple of museums very interested in a life-size model of the Hector specimen.
Make it on that one. I mean, you get something that impressive and some private collectors like that. It's mine now. And you're like, joke's on you. I got pictures. You're not the only one, buddy.
Yeah. I hope it's as true to the reality it is. But yeah, I think they only showed it once at a museum after it was sold. Don't know where exactly, but yeah. I think it's a shame that skeletons are auctioned off for money, but I can understand it too, because yeah, running a museum does take a lot of capital. And
it does.
Yeah, they have to bring in money too. It's museums don't run from just the visitations it gets. They also support the paleontologic community at dig sites, doing excavations and stuff, explorations. They also get their they get funded from the government, but it's not sufficient enough. So sometimes they do have to sell a skeleton or two just to broaden their horizons a little bit.
Sell one, hopefully get two. I mean,
yeah.
It's a sad process, but it hopefully adds up in the end. I mean,
well, hopefully. In the meanwhile, I have some replicas if you're listening out there.
The thing about a replica is it's a little bit less.
It's harder not that expensive. And it's not that heavy. And it doesn't need that much maintenance like a real skeleton display. And I mean, actually, most displays in museums right now are replicas.
Yeah, because, I mean, you put the actual bone out there, you get some doofus little kid playing with it.
Yeah.
Then it's ash, and you're like, well.
Yeah, and also because of the humidity in the air, and yeah, every now and then those skeletons need to be dismantled, get preparations, be reinstated, and it does take a lot of money to do that.
That is true, and it's also a very long process, and you have to pay a lot of people to do it. And
yeah,
sometimes it's not worth it. So you just make a cast of whatever, and then whenever it's just a hard plastic, and you're just like, oh, I don't really care if that falls apart, I'll just make another cast. I mean,
yeah. Casting is also not that cheap. The casting is quite expensive too. It's not expensive as a buying a real skeleton, but 3D printing is the cheaper option.
I mean, that maybe museums should invest in getting a 3D printer for the back.
A lot of museums have 3D printers now. Most museums do. I met the museum in Yorkshire has their own department called Neo Jurassica. And they make fossil replicas with 3D printers. The Sarrier Museum in Belek has their own 3D printer. Also, the museum in the Netherlands, the Utrecht Museum, also has its own 3D printing service. So a lot of museums do have their own 3D printing service.
So I bet it's also, you print out the skeleton. I mean, I guess you can get different size 3D printers. Like you can get like a smaller one or like a
One. The biggest one I have is a half a meter on a half a meter and 80 centimeters high.
So
it's a pretty big build plate, but there are printers that can print for 1 meter and 1 meter. But those are really rare and quite expensive. But the standard 3D printer, like the Creality Ender 3, costs around $150. And it's a pretty decent printer. Yeah, it's a pretty decent printer. I made my first skeletons with it. When you fine-tune that printer, you can have some great models from it. And you do have to be a little bit handy with it, because does take a lot of fine tuning to run smoothly, but once it does, it prints out perfect prints every time. And I used that printer for the first year. I bought two of them, and they were printing 9 to 5. And then I started using resin printers for those can print really fine details. And yeah, those are a little bit more expensive, around 200 for a standard size, which is still not that expensive.
I mean,
but they smell real bad, and the resin is toxic. So don't do it in an enclosed space in your home, because the smell sticks around for a while and the fumes are toxic. So
don't do it in your home unless you like dying, but I wouldn't suggest doing that.
Well, if you are going to do it inside your home, make sure it's a well-ventilated home.
That's for sure.
Make a proper enclosure, get some really good ventilators in there, and you should be fine. It's not like a toxic, like when you smell it, you're going to die. But it's like smoking. Some people can smoke a pack a day and live to be 80 years old, and some people can smoke a pack a day and die when they're 40s.
Still be careful with it if you're going to get one.
Yeah.
Don't do anything dumb. Don't stick your head in it.
And don't touch it with your bare hands, because it gets irritating. But resin printing is also a little bit more expensive than FDM printing. FDM printing is when the printer goes layer by layer, moving upwards. And resin printer is actually a fluid called resin that cures under UV light. So that's why it smells that bad. And also you have to cure it in alcohol. Isopropanol alcohol. And you need more materials to have a finished product. So it's actually a little bit more expensive than an FDM printer. But if you want to print fine small models, you can't do that with an FDM printer, because the details are not there. You need a resin printer for that.
Yeah. Also, I think I have I'm pretty sure this is an FDM printed one.
Well, you can kind of see if you scratch it with your nails and you can feel the layers.
Yeah, you can kind of see the layers too if you look real. Yeah, you probably can't see it on an FDM print.
Yeah. Hey, is that from Cretaceous Sculpting on Etsy?
I think so.
Yeah. I saw that one on Etsy. It's not that. Yeah.
It's not they
didn't
bad
have model. That curve. They didn't have that curve at the end.
No.
But it's a great model.
I'll get my saw and cut it off. It's a handle, so you can show it to people. But I mean, it is a process, and they are surprisingly cheap. Honestly, I thought they'd be more expensive. Like, I could buy one FDM, right now.
FDM printing is not expensive at all. You can print that out for, well, let's say, $5, and they sell it for $50.
So. I mean, I would assume the most expensive part would be the material itself. Well,
the material one roll of PLA material costs around, depending on what quality you use, between $30 and $50 for one roll. There's about 1.5 kilo. You can print about 100 models of that Pterodon skull with it. It's not that expensive.
It gets worth it. It's worth it, because you sell one of these for 50. I mean, you sell one, you can buy like a whole nother roll again. You make 100 more. So it's worth it. I might have to steal your business idea.
But if you sell those for, let's say, $7, a lot of people will buy it. That's for sure. But you would still need to keep up with the orders. And that's where the shipping comes in. You have to ship every order. You have to back every order, make sure it gets to the customer completely. Because the first few skeletons I shipped came to the customer broken. So I'm not afraid to say that. And yeah, it took a while to figure that out, and money.
Because then they're like, well, it's broken. I don't want a broken model. I need another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll make another one. I'll ship it to you at my expense. And yeah.
Yeah.
It gets frustrating.
It's like, yeah, that was a lot of time and effort for, well,
yeah.
Kind of a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
I kind of just watched the machine do it. Do its thing.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, yeah, it took a lot of time to model it. It took a lot of time to print it, paint it, ship it, package it, and ship it. So people forget that a lot. I had a discussion just this week about I put up the Carnotaurus model. Carnotaurus model. I always say Carnotaurus. I don't know why. Carnotaurus model on Cult3D. And every model, if it's a full skeleton, it costs around $20. And a skull costs around $15. And you can download it and print it yourself. You can't sell it because I got copyright of it. but what I was trying to say, I forgot what I was trying to say. Oh, yeah. So there was this guy this week that said, I'm not going to pay $20 for a model. I'll pay $20 for the finished product.
That's not.
$20 doesn't even pay for the resin. Yeah, a bottle of resin costs about $70. So it's really not that cheap. And you still have to calculate in if a part fails to print, you have to redo it. You have to calculate that into the factor too. So I really hate when guys say that because it's really unappreciative of the work that's involved in it.
So
for $20, I can't even ship it to you.
And people just dumb sometimes.
Yeah. I blame ignorance, but yeah.
You're like models that you download. Can they be done either way, or do they have to like specifically be done?
The full-size skeletons, except for the nobody tried it. The Comsognathus and FDM printing, but I don't recommend it. The Dimetrodon, Dimorphodon, can be printed in resin, or if you have a big printer, resin printer. Can be printed in resin, but it's also suited for FDM printing, like the one you have. The Psittacosaurus skeleton is usually done in FDM printing. The skulls can all be printed in FDM, but the finer skeletons are usually for resin printers, but FDM printers have a larger build volume. So if you scale it up, you can probably do it in FDM, but never really tried. But the big skulls, like the Edmontosaurus, those are all for FDM printing.
So the skulls are like basically just guaranteed kind of FDM.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, because I would assume FDM kind of is the more common 3D printing because it's the easier one to get and manage. But
And the safer option too.
That's another part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, because resin printing is very messy. The post-processing, you have to take off the supports, clean it with alcohol, sand it down. You have to sand FDM prints too. But what I usually do is I use the resin from that I use for resin printing and paint a little on top of the... a layer on top of the FDM prints so it gets really smooth and without much loss of detail.
That's really smart. I never really thought about that. You could do that. Grant, I've never.
Yeah, I used a little bit of resin. I painted all over the model, and then I cure it with a UV lamp. So light.
So I mean, it's a solid business. I mean,
yeah, and it actually works very great.
So people can, I guess, when people buy the file from you, and they don't have like a 3D printer, they can just be like, can I buy just a finished product? And you just
then I usually refer them to Dinosauria Creatures, though they have a license from me that they can print my models and sell them. I also have an agreement with them, and they're pretty nice guys. They're from Spain, and they print and ship all the models. But there are also other alternatives. You can use a 3D printing service, or probably check in your social circle, because more likely there's somebody in your social circle that has a 3D printer.
Yeah. I'm sure there's somewhere in your general area that you might not know it.
Yeah.
Library, school.
Yeah, libraries is a strong possibility that they have a 3D printer. I know my local library has about five. Don't know if it's five, but they have a couple of 3D printers that haven't been used ever. They're just sitting there. So, because nobody knows that they have one.
Go there. Can I have these? They're like,
they're pretty expensive ones too. They're Ultimakers. So
wow. Okay.
Those I think they cost about $1,500 for one. So Jesus. Yeah.
They got stuff that nobody wants.
I don't think they're gonna give them away.
Not too easily.
That'll take a little bit of persuading.
But I mean, yeah, so that 3D printers are cheap.
Yeah.
Well, surprisingly cheap. I guess not technically cheap, but
that depends on your financial place, but they're not that expensive.
I mean, what is it? IMB, IPT. What is the
PETG?
That one.
The material.
Yeah, the material.
PETG, but mostly I use PLA.
But I mean, that's relatively not expensive. I mean, so if anybody wants something, I didn't get this from him. I'm just showing this off because it's the only 3D printing thing I had that's, you can just tell by looking at it. But
yeah,
go check him out. I mean, he's got, you get the file, print it out yourself. I mean, don't sell it though. That's illegal.
Yeah, that's there are last year I did caught this one guy on Etsy that was selling my models without asking or without permission, and it ended up costing him a lot. So don't do it.
So that's, I guess, all I can say. What kind of legal action would there be if like a museum bought the file, printed something out, and then put it on display without telling you?
There's no legal action for that.
That
they didn't sell the model. So they bought the model, they printed it, and they put it on display. So they're not breaking any laws by doing that.
Hmm.
I encouraged them to do that because it's a great advertisement for me. That's why I make models. They're mostly done for educational purposes and for people getting an interest in it. So that's why museums exist. That's why I do it. But they don't sell my work. So they print the skeleton and they put it on display. So that's actually, if you would have a 3D printer and you bought one of my models and you put it on display in your house and you get some visitors over it, so it's just the same.
So it'd be like As long as people aren't marketing it, it would be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I could see why that would be.
As long as people don't build a business around my work. So pretending they made the model because, that's just, there's some douchebags around there that do that, make a quick buck and then disappear. And so, but if they get caught, it's going to cost you a little more than you can earn.
More than a 3D printer.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy had to pay the legal fee because and he had to pay a fine, and all his earnings were reverted to me. So
yeah, I guess any product they create that they don't sell gets reverted to you as well. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, they just contact Etsy is actually one of those places that you can make a great business on Etsy, but there are a lot of people scamming on Etsy too. Using there was this one guy who actually used my photos and placed them on Etsy, and but never sold anything.
Never printed them. Never.
Yeah. And actually, I don't think he got the money from it, because Etsy only pays you the money when you have proof that it was shipped and arrived at the customer, I think. But yeah, you hear a lot of stories. Justin from Inhuman Species gets scammed regularly. Also, there are some other sites where you can buy 3D models, and all of a sudden your work is displayed there when you never posted something on their site. So yeah, it happens.
Etsy works. I don't sell anything on there yet, so I mean,
yeah, me neither.
I wouldn't, I don't really know how that whole process works, but I mean, selling something without actually giving something away seems like a pretty decent business model somehow.
Until you get caught.
Yeah, until you get caught. Someone's like, hey, I didn't get anything. It's like, read the description next time. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I guess whenever somebody buys the, or asks or commissions like a, specific product. So if I was like, could you do a Tsukio Mima skull file for me, and you did that, and I say I let you keep it, do I also get to keep like a copy of it, or
never mind. Oh, you mean if you are order a specific skull, if you ask me to do a specific project, well, the price of that depends. If I have to make it specific for you, and I can't sell the model on Cult3D, then you will pay a full price for it. If we get to an agreement that you pay for the development of it, and the 50% of it I make from Cult3D from selling the 3D model, that's another route that can be taken. So, but usually museums ask for the copyright of the model, that I can't reproduce the model for 3D printing.
And I can kind of somehow see why.
Actually, I can, but not in the same stance and position that they put it on display, and not with the same textures, because you can't claim copyright over a species. I usually don't do it. When I do something for a museum, I don't replicate the product again for 3D printing. So some models I only will do once for a specific museum.
That's, yeah, I mean, and Usually, because whenever museums are asking for thing, it's gonna a thing is gonna be either pretty big or pretty detailed.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be like, I don't have 4 years to make another one of these.
But yeah, they pay a high price for it too. So. And working out a life-size model, every vertebrae, every rib, every tooth, nook and cranny, it's quite a project to do that.
And I mean, I guess you help any kind of museum, private or public.
Well, yeah, and also because I work together with Dinosauria Creature Creations, they also bring in projects for me if I'm interested. So they don't push me to do the project. I only do them when I'm interested in it. And recently they got connected with a museum that wants a Gorgosaurus skeleton, one juvenile full-scale skeleton and one adult-scaled skull. So those are great projects, but they take a lot of time. And yeah, they're well known. They're not that old, Dinosauria Creations, but in a very brief span of their existence, they got well known for bringing out great products, great quality products. So yeah, happy to work with them.
I live too close to an airport.
I don't get paid to say that. I generally mean that. My bank account just went, whoa.
Hey, it paid me more. You hear my bedside table rattling in the background because a plane just flew overhead. I'm like, oh, please don't fall.
Where are you located, actually?
I'm in South Carolina, so I'm on the East Coast.
Oh, that's where the accent comes from.
I'm in the South, too. So,
yeah.
Southern accent, more or less. But, I mean,
yeah.
So you said that museums, they do kind of like a commission thing?
Yeah, yeah. They actually... some big museums work actually with studios that mostly do restoration pieces of real bones and everything. And when those studios, R2 Evolution here in Belgium, but there's also Dino Lab in America, they do restorations of real skeletons for other museums too. And when those museums ask them to make the restoration of a specific skeleton and they say, no, the fossil is too fragile to put back on display, they have their own artists. But yeah, sometimes they have a lot of work and contact outside artists like me to do. But I don't do just one vertebrae. Or one rib or one teeth. Those are the things I don't do. I rather prefer to do full skeletons.
Or
skulls.
That too. Because, I mean, yeah. A skull, I feel like, is something that is like...
It's the hardest part of every skeleton. That's a skull.
They're easy to kind of notice.
Yeah.
Enough,
yeah.
It's something that's like very interesting to look at.
Yeah, but you also have to get the inside fenestra accurate. And not a lot of details are known about specific species, how the inside cranium is and the fenestra and everything like that. So
crack open the skull. You're like,
yeah,
not destroy it.
Because a lot of skulls are also stuck inside a matrix. So the inside is not uncovered, so they don't know how the structure is presented on the inside. And yeah, sometimes it's a little bit of experience with other species. The Gorgosaurus is a close relative to the T-Rex. T-Rex is very well known. There are a lot of
T-Rex a little bit too.
Yeah. You look at the Allosaurus, you look at the Spliceosaurus. So those are all close relatives. So you get quite an accurate picture on how the inside would be. Same with the raptors. You got Velociraptor, you got Utahraptor, you got Deinonychus, you got also kind of raptors, Dakota raptors. So once you make one species, you get to know the other species too.
Because you got like very slight differences.
Slight differences in shapes and sizes, but also in how the
build,
how the skull is formed, because the T-Rex, for instance, has a really wide head, and yep, the Gorgosaurus is like a little more crushed to the side and elongated in the snout,
kind of like Tarbosaurus, where it's very
same like with Tarbosaurus. Yeah.
I feel like Gorgosaurus is more like Tarbosaurus than T-Rex. But
I read an article that when they first found the species that's in the Tyrell Museum on display, like the Black Beauty T-Rex, they first thought it was a juvenile T-Rex. Then they thought it was a Tarbosaurus. And actually, now it's known as a Gorgosaurus. So that's all the same discussion that's happening with the Pachycephalosaurus and the Dracorex. A lot of people claim it's the same species. Some claim it's a different species. That's also what's fun about paleontology. It's not all things can be answered right now. It's still a science that has to be.
Well, keep coming on, keep finding stuff.
Yeah, there's still every other week there's another paper coming out, and it just keeps evolving.
Like with
mistakes are bound to be made in the process of it.
With Nanotyrannus and juvenile T-Rex and all that going on.
That's another.
It's like a new T-Rex species that we discovered.
It's like, and
T-Rex is turning into Spinosaurus over here. Stop.
They just found a small portion of the new Tyrannosaurus, so they made it out. It's conclusive. There's a new species of Tyrannosaurus. Okay, for me, it's still. I'll just wait a couple of years until to be conclusive about that, because I don't jump on the bandwagon for just because one paper came out and also okay that they have evidence, but they used to have evidence that the Spinosaurus was aquatic too, and then it wasn't aquatic, then it was land mammal, then it was a river animal, then it was a swamp animal. Until you have a conclusive answer. I'm that guy in the back room that's just waiting until all the people go home and to have a drink quietly.
I'll wait.
just make some noise, have fun. I'll just wait until you're gone so I can
Tyrannosaurus
enjoy my drink in quiet and peace.
I'll stick with Rex. I know we know Rex, so I'll stick with that one for now. If we figure out the other one, I'll learn it and all that, but
I used the stand specimen for my Monty Tyrannosaurus. So it's actually pretty close to stand, more than I would like to admit. But I made a few changes because I did use the stand T-Rex as the model for my Monty. But it's not completely the same.
So Yeah, I mean, so you kind of build your models and kind of build the display like it would be in a museum kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you have like the metal pole and maybe some other support.
Yeah.
Well, also because
it needs the metal poles are actually I make the skeletons with holes inside some parts of it where you can place metal rods.
It kind of has something like that too. It's got
So then you just
gotta figure this out. How do I? You can kind of see it.
I think you have. There it is.
Yeah, right there. And that's just because you could like set it down, or you could just have it up. But with a skeleton, you can kind of just prop it up like that.
Well, all skeletons are made in specific parts. Mostly, you got the rib cage in one or two parts. Then the neck, then the skull and jaw, then the tail. Mostly the tail is in a couple of parts. And then the hips with the femurs attached to it, and the lower legs and the arms separately. So that's mostly how I do my skeletons in separate parts. If it's a life-size skeleton, it depends. Then I'll look to a standard printer like the Ender 3 that we talked about. I'll look at how big that build plate is and divide the parts that they can still fit the build plate to make a life-size skeleton.
So, yeah, I mean, because there's a lot that, I mean, before you even like build the skeleton, you got to design it. And then on top of that, you can't just build it and have it standing there because it'll fall over. I mean, it's not how that works. So you got to get supports for it, figure out where it might be the weakest, put a support there. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it.
First you make a base mesh. I see. I actually have a little film on how I do it on my Instagram. First you make a base mesh, so it's like sculpting clay. You get a big blob of clay, and I put it in front of a picture, and I sculpt up the rough proportions of it. Then I'll look for a photo from the side or the front, and place the base mesh over to the side view, sculpt out the rough part of that. Yeah, there it is. That was actually for the Utah Raptor.
A classic.
I found that photo reference on, I think it was Imgur or something like that. I don't know who the artist was, but whoever the artist was that made those reference photos, thanks a lot. So
unnamed people.
Yeah, don't remember.
A lot of people have very non-memorable names.
Yeah. I think I found it on Pinterest, but yeah, I just saved the photo and I forgot to look at the artist's name. Yeah, so very sorry about that. If you ever would watch this, let me know who you are and I'll put you in the comments.
Hey, that's my picture. We got Camarasaurus up there. I'll send you a picture of that. Maybe you can use it.
Well, yeah, the thing is I try to find as much as reference material as I can find, so that's how you do the basic sculpting of it, and then you remesh the entire blob to finer detail, and then you can sculpt in all the little fine nooks and crannies. But yeah, it's this movie was actually me sculpting 2 hours, I think.
Did you just like screen record it and then just like speed it up? There's a lot that goes into this. They're very, very, speaking of Spinosaurus, I just happen to have a Spinosaurus skull here. There's like a lot of detail that goes into these. So, I mean, I could only imagine how much, because, I mean, even with this one, you got like the sensors and stat and stuff all over the nose. So
yeah. I don't know if I can share a photo. Share screen. Don't know if
maybe it will, maybe it won't. Because I know.
Don't know if it's working, so let me know.
Here it is. There.
So this is the Gorgosaurus skull.
Wow, that thing is very intricate.
So
that's the one for the museum.
Yeah. So here you can see all the details and the stuff. So this part is high resolution texturing. This part still needs to be textured up.
So you're kind of just working from front to back.
Yeah, yeah. And here you can see all the different parts of it when I do this, I think. Yeah, it's going to take a while. Random, yes.
Oh,
so all the different colors are all different pieces.
Yeah, it's...
And some parts are still too big to fit the printer, so I'll even have to splice those up too. So, yeah.
Print that part and kind of just hook it together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Making keyholes of it so it all fits good. And that's actually for a museum.
So, yeah.
And that's going to be life sized. So it's going to be 1 meter in length.
That's going to be a big print.
Yeah. And not going to print it myself. So that's for. Dinosaur creatures.
You figure it
out. Good luck.
I mean, I'm sure you're a busy man. You got stuff to do. So I'll let you go.
Yeah. Okay, man. I'm going to head to the wife. It's family time, right?
Actually, I'm going to show your, not the video, but your Instagram one last time. There's Nova Studios. There's their Instagram. Go check it out. I think you have, you have the store in the bio. What am I trying to say? The store in the bio.
Yeah, that's just the website name, but you can also find me on Cult3D. That's where most of my models are for download.
If you have Cult3D, go check it out. There's Nova Studios. I'm assuming you would have it. You can search in Cult3D and just kind of Nova Studios. But
just put Nova Studios in the search bar and you'll find me.
Yep, but thanks for coming on. It was amazing having you on. I mean,
and thanks for having me.
Stay in touch. I mean, I'm hoping to have my
own museum one day.
So.
But if you have a 3D printer, let me know. I'll hook you up.
And I'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks, man. Take care.
You too. And that was Nova Studios. So amazing guy. I love his content. So please go check that out. And while you're there, if you want to go see some museums, go check out Dinosaur Trips. He's got his museum tours that he does. There's his Instagram. I am doing the wrong thing. If you want his website, if I can find it. here it is. There's his website. If it'll load, go check that out too. That's where you can get your trip. I have the Red Rocks and Raptors pulled up because it's led by Dr. Brian Curtis. So go check that one out. And I mean, while you're checking out accounts, you might as well go check me out too on Instagram. It's Prehistoric Life Podcast, if you can believe it. But yeah, I post a lot of other content on there. So yeah, go check that out. And if you want my content early, I try to post on YouTube. Prehistoric Life Podcast is the YouTube channel. I try to post things earlier on there. If it'll load. What did I open? Oh, that's the wrong thing. Hang on, I opened the wrong thing. This should be it. But yeah, there's my channel. Go check it out. I might open up a 3D printing service one day, maybe. Just 3D printers are surprisingly cheap. And if you want all of my content in one place, go check out my website. If it'll open. Yes. Ooh, I have to update it. Because last time we had a battle, Kintrosaurus versus Baryonyx. So go check that episode out. I'll link it on YouTube and all that. But again, I'm your host, Eric Crawford. Thank you so much, Nova Studios, for coming on and talking to me. It's a real honor to always have somebody who loves dinosaurs on. So I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you because I'm hoping to have my own museum one day. So I'll need specimens. But I'm your host, Eric Crawford, signing off. This has been Prehistoric Life Podcast. Remember, keep it prehistoric. Goodbye.